It's a 41. It's a 41. Yeah. It's about the second quadruple. Well, I'm not sure. I've been told, but I don't remember. It should be this one. Yeah, it's okay. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 41, who has a very, very, very long purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's 12 pages. Purport is. But it's just very, extremely sweet. Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Niruddha Vitiya Chaturvyuhai Turiya Vishuddha. Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna and Aniruddha constitute the second quadruple. They are purely transcendental. From Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sripad Sankaracharya has misleadingly explained the quadruple form, Chaturvyuha, in his interpretation of the 42nd aphorism of the second kanda of chapter 2 of the Vedanta Sutra, Utpati Asambhavat. In verses 41 through 47 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraja Goswami answers Sripad Sankaracharya's misleading objection to the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. Since it is a very, very long purport, I would request the devotees, if something is unclear, you want some explanation, just raise your hands. While I'm reading, I will acknowledge that you want to put a question. I will finish the paragraph and then I will let you speak. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is not like a material object that can be known by experimental knowledge or sense perception. In the Narada Pancharatra, this fact has been explained by Narayana himself to Lord Shiva. But Shankaracharya, the incarnation of Shiva, under the order of Narayana, his master, had to mislead the monists who favor ultimate extinction. In the conditioned stage of existence, all living entities have four basic defects, of which one is a cheating propensity. Shankaracharya has carried this cheating propensity to the extreme, to mislead the monists. Actually, the quadruple forms explained in the Vedic literature cannot be understood by the speculation of a conditioned soul. The quadruple forms should therefore be accepted just as they are described. The authority of the Vedas is such that even if one does not understand something by its limited perception, he should accept the Vedic injunction and not create interpretations to suit his imperfect understanding. In his Shariraka Bhasya, however, Shankaracharya has increased the misunderstanding of the monists. In India, when somebody wants to say something and he wants to force his own idea, and the other one that was not what to accept, he says, "What is this? It's a Vedic injunction." You know? So the idea is that the Vedas are the base of our philosophy. And if someone wants to be authoritative, he should mention the Vedas. He should always mention the Shastras. So to mention the Shastra while we are in a philosophical debate, we have to know the Shastra. We have to study. And study with attention. So it's very important to know the Shastra, especially for those, for everyone, but especially for those who want to be preachers. The quadruple forms have a spiritual existence that can be realized in Vasudeva Sattva, Shuddha Sattva, or unqualified goodness. Unqualified means without material qualification. This means Nirguna. Nirguna may mean or without material qualification or with or saguna with transcendental qualification. In this case, unqualified goodness or Shuddha Sattva means without material qualifications, which accompanies complete absorption in the understanding of Vasudeva. Vasu means abode. Vas comes from Vas. And Deva means divine. It comes from Div, light. And the light of purity or understanding. So Vasudeva means the divine abode to which everyone should ultimately go back. The quadruple forms were full of the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the enjoyers of the internal potency. Thinking the absolute personality of Godhead to be poverty-stricken or to have no potency, or, in other words, to be impotent, is simply rascaldom. This rascaldom is the profession of the conditioned soul, and it increases its bewilderment. One who cannot understand the distinctions between the spiritual world and material world has no qualification to examine or know the situation of the transcendental quadruple forms. In his commentaries on the second kanda of the Vedanta Sutra, chapter 2, verses 42 and 45, His Holiness Sripad Shankaracharya has made a futile attempt to nullify the existence of the quadruple forms of the spiritual world. So the commentary of Sripad Shankaracharya to the Vedanta Sutra is called Sharidaka Bhashya, and there is a prohibition by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to read this book. He says that whoever reads this book, his spiritual life is ruined. So for this reason, we don't read the book, the Sharidaka Bhashya by Sripad Shankaracharya. Lord Krishna gives everyone what they want. If they want to enjoy material world, then he creates a material world. For those who want to have the illusion of being one with the Supreme, then he provides scriptures to have this idea or have this illusion. And this was provided by Sripad Shankaracharya, who wrote the Sharidaka Bhashya, a very powerful book on Mayavada or Advaitavada philosophy. Advaitavada and Mayavada, they are referring to the same philosophy, but there is a difference between Advaitavada and Mayavada. The difference is that Mayavada is the section of that philosophy who deals with the illusion of the existence of the world. Mayavada means that this material world is not real, that is just a dream. While Advaitavada, as the word says, a, which means no, dvam means two. So there is not two, there are no two beings, everything is one. So that means I am not me, you are not you, so we are the same. So as you can see, although the two philosophies may merge together, and they merge together, actually, Advaitavada and Mayavada, they are two different sections. Sometimes one can be Advaitavadi without being actually a Mayavadi, or vice versa. But usually in the Sepasankaracharya philosophy, Advaitavada and Mayavada merge together in the same philosophy. Shankaracharya says, verse 42, the devotees think the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, to be one, to be free from material qualities, to have a transcendental body full of bliss and eternal existence. He is the ultimate goal of the devotees who believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself into four other eternal transcendental forms, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. From Vasudeva, who is the primary expansion, come Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha in that order. Another name of Vasudeva is Paratma. Another name of Sankarsana is Jiva, the living entity. Another name of Pradyumna is mind. And another name of Aniruddha is Ahankara, false ego. Among these expansions, Vasudeva is considered the origin of material nature. Therefore, Shankaracharya says the Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Niruddha must be creations of that original cause. Great souls assert that Narayana, who is known as Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, is beyond material nature. And this is in accordance with the statements of the Vedic literature. Mayavadis also agree that Narayana can expand himself in various forms. Shankara says that he does not attempt to argue that portion of the devotee's understanding. But he must protest the idea that Sankarsana is produced from Vasudeva. Pradyumna is produced from Sankarsana, and Aniruddha is produced from Pradyumna. And four, if Sankarsana is understood to represent the living entities created from the body of Vasudeva, then the living entities would have to be non-eternal. The living entities are supposed to be freed from material contamination by engaging in prolonged temple worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reading Vedic literature, and performing yoga and pious activities to attain the Supreme Lord. But if the living entities have been created from material nature at a certain point, they would be non-eternal and would have no chance to be liberated and associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a cause is nullified, its results are nullified. In the second chapter of Vedanta Sutra, Acharya Vedavyas has also refuted the conception that the living beings were ever born. Natma shruter nityatvach cha tabya. Because there is no creation for the living entities, they must be eternal. Is that clear? It seems quite clear. The idea is that Shankaracharya is saying that Sankarsana was created. Sankarsana is the origin of the living entities. So here, various acharyas, and with Srila Prabhupada, he say, no, Sankarsana must be eternal. Because if Sankarsana is not eternal, then the jivas, we, are not eternal. then if we are not eternal, the result will be that the liberation, it will not be possible, because the destruction of the self is contained in the concept of beginning. If something begins, then it will be destroyed in due course of time. While if something has no beginning, there's also no end. So liberation is possible. So here, our acharyas are saying that Sripadsankaracharya concept, the Sankarshan was created at a certain point, is wrong. And he is eternal. And because he is eternal, the jivas also are eternal. Because the products must be of the same quality of its cause. So we have now here the concept of eternity of soul, and this is very important to learn and to know, because Shankaracharya had to convince people of the non-individuality of the soul. But if we are eternal, we are also eternally individuals. If you are individuals now, so that means that we will be forever individuals. And this is the whole point behind Mayavada philosophy. Shankaracharya says, verse 43, the devotees think that Pradyumna, who is considered to represent the senses, has sprung from Sankarshan, who is considered to represent the living entities. But we cannot actually experience that a person can produce senses. Devotees also say that from Pradyumna has sprung Aniruddha, who is considered to represent that ego. But Shankaracharya says that unless the devotees can show how ego and the means of knowledge can generate from a person, such an explanation of the Vedanta Sutra cannot be accepted, for no other philosophers accept the sutras in that way. A person and his senses are one. So again, if Sankarshan is eternal, then Pradyumna is eternal, and the senses are also eternal because are part of the jiva soul. Shankaracharya also says, verse 44, that he cannot accept the devotee's idea that Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are equally as powerful as the Absolute Personality of Godhead, full in the six opulences of knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation, and free from the flow of generation at a certain point. Even if they are full expansions, the flow of generation remains. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, being distinct individual persons, cannot be one. Therefore, if they are accepted as absolute, full, and equal, there would be many personalities of Godhead. But there is no need to accept that there are many personalities of Godhead, because acceptance of one omnipotent God is sufficient for all purposes. The acceptance of more than one God is contradictory to the conclusion that Lord Vasudeva, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. Even if we agree to accept that the quadruple forms of Godhead are all identical, we cannot avoid the incongruous flow of non-eternity. Unless we accept that there are some differences among the personalities, there is no meaning to the idea that Sankarshan is an expansion of Vasudeva, Pradyumna is an expansion of Sankarshan, and Aniruddha is an expansion of Pradyumna. There must be a distinction between cause and effect. For example, a pot is distinct from the earth from which it is made, and therefore we can ascertain that the earth is the cause and the pot is the effect. Without such distinctions, there is no meaning to cause and effect. Furthermore, the followers of the Pancharatric principles do not accept any differences in knowledge and qualities between Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. The devotees accept all these expansions to be one, but why should they restrict oneness to these quadruple expansions? Certainly, we should not do so, for all living entities, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, are expansions of Vasudeva, is accepted in all the Shrutis and Smritis. Is that clear? Shankaracharya also says, verse 45, the devotees who follow the Pancharatra state that God's qualities and God himself, the owner of the qualities, are the same. But how can the Bhagavata school state that the six opulences, wisdom, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation are identical with Lord Vasudeva? This is impossible. In his Lago Bhagavatamrita, verse 80 to 83, Srila Rupa Goswami has refuted the charges directed against the devotees by Sripa Shankaracharya regarding their explanation of the quadruple forms Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. He says that these four expansions on Narayana are present in the spiritual sky, where they are famous as Mahavasta. Among them, Vasudeva is worshipped within the heart by meditation, because he is the predominating deity of the heart, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. Sankarshan, the second expansion, is Vasudeva's personal expansion for pastimes. And since he's the reservoir of all living entities, he is sometimes called Jiva. The beauty of Sankarshan is more than that of innumerable full moons, radiating light beams. He is worshipable as the principle of ego. He has invested Anantadeva with all the potencies of sustenance. For the dissolution of the creation, he also exhibits himself as the super soul in Rudra, irreligiosity, Ahi, the snake, Antaka, death, and the demons. Pradyumna, the third manifestation, appears from Sankarshan. Those who are especially intelligent worship this Pradyumna expansion of Sankarshan as a principle of the intelligence. The goddess of fortune always chants the glories of Pradyumna in the place known as Ilavritavarsha, and she always serves him with great devotion. His complexion appears sometimes golden and sometimes bluish, like new monsoon clouds in the sky. He is the origin of the creation of the material world, and he has invested his creative principle in Cupid. It is by his direction only that all men and demigods and other living entities function with energy for regeneration. Aniruddha, the fourth of the quadruple expansions, is worshipped by great sages and psychologists as a principle of the mind. His complexion is similar to the bluish hue of a blue cloud. He engages in the maintenance of the cosmic manifestation and is the super soul of Dharma, the deity of religiosity, Manu, the progenitor of mankind, and the devatas, demigods. The Moksha Dharma, Vedic scripture, indicates that Pradyumna is the deity of the total mind, whereas Aniruddha is the deity of the total ego. But previous statements regarding the quadruple forms are confirmed in the Pancharata Tantras in all respect. Is there any question? E lo so. Yeah. Lots of information. Every paragraph we can dedicate a class to each paragraph. So it's a lot of philosophy in Adi Lila. And there is a reason why Srila Prabhupada wrote so much philosophy in the Adi Lila, and the reason we have spoken about several times in the last classes is that Lilas are to be understood by a purified intelligence. You cannot understand Lila, because if your intelligence is not purified and fortified by a philosophical understanding, you misunderstand Lilas. And the result from misunderstanding of the Lilas is very severe. And we may develop one particular spiritual sickness, which is called Prakriti Sahaja. We want to enjoy. Someone who is not sober and grave in knowledge, he very childishly become very emotional, you know, and wants to enjoy. Oh, you know, this is typical of young men who becomes very easily involved in emotional activities, while grown-up men, or in our case, someone who is fortified by intelligence, they are more sober, and they know how, when, how much they can enjoy the Lilas, Krishna's Lilas. So because of this, Srila Prabhupada, before starting talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful pastimes, he put on us a big weight of philosophy. You first read these things, and then you can understand. The same principle applies on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's pastimes appears in the 10th canto. And there are 9 cantos before that we had to study. And there is a huge amount of philosophy in the first 9 canto. Not only philosophy, but there are also a lot of history. A lot of names, a lot of places that we had to know where they are, you know. And so when we arrive at the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are ready, we are purified. Our intelligence is strong. Then we can understand Krishna's pastimes in the right perspective. So there is a lot of information here, a lot of things to learn about the quadruple expansion. And I felt just reading it because otherwise we never go on. You know, we can stay in this verse for weeks. And the basic principle is that Krishna expands himself. This is the principle, and he does something specific in every form. So otherwise, it is called. Otherwise, it happens as something that we generally define as a rasa basa. You see? Just like when we come back home from work, that then we put other clothes and then we begin playing with our children, with our wife. Then when we go to work, we put a tie and different clothes, and we do different things. You cannot go to work in a playful mode like when you were with your children, because it's rasa basa. When you are at work, you have to be serious. When you are with friends, it's something else. When you are with your wife, it's something else. When you have children, it's something different. When you come to the temple, you are something completely different, etc., etc. So the same way, Krishna doesn't do the same thing with the same personality. and he expands. Just like when Krishna plays with the gopas, then he dresses as a gopa. When he wants to call the cows, he uses the flute. And when he wants to play with the gopis, then he manifests his attractive nature. But he doesn't kill the demons with the same personality that he plays with the gopas, because if you think a moment, you'll see like it doesn't add up. It's something that isn't good. So especially for creation, Krishna doesn't really want to do much to do with the with creation, material creation, because he doesn't like it very much. So he expands in various forms. And these four forms, although they are transcendental, they deal with material creation. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are the four original deities who manifest indirectly, not directly, the basics for material creation. And here there is the description of what they do. So are they divine personalities? Yes, they are divine personalities. They are transcendental. Although they manifest sections of material creation, actually they are not part of this material world. Have they infinite powers? Yes, they do, but they don't manifest it. They don't manifest it. Again, even the president of the United States, when he goes back to his daughter, he manifests his loving nature. You know, he is the most powerful personality in the States, but he doesn't manifest it with his daughters, because otherwise, again, it's rasabhasa. He will ruin the pleasure of being with his daughters by manifesting all the powers. It's not that he arrives home, I am the president, you do what I say. And when he's talking to the Congress, he doesn't use his loving nature. He's the president. So, in the same way, Krishna manifests himself for the creation purposes, but he doesn't manifest his full powers. But these forms are himself. If he wanted, he could manifest all the powers, but he doesn't.
Like sometimes when we're talking to someone who is not aware of our philosophy, they say, are you a Hindu? And they say, like, there's so many gods in Hindus, so-called gods. But now here we're also seeing that how Krishna has so many expansions. Now if someone who's, again, not aware of the philosophy, they put the question, you're saying God is one, but here we see so many expansions. How do we answer such a question?
Very good question. Yes. This philosophy is the most complete and perfect philosophy known to man, because there are no contradictions. For instance, I will tell you one very striking contradiction of only one God. So if we say God cannot be many, then you are implying that God is limited. Because when we say God cannot, there is nothing that God cannot. God must be one and must be also many, because there is nothing that God cannot. So the So the idea is that God is one and many at the same time. This is the idea. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. It's one and different at the same time. We cannot say God is different, because otherwise we are falling, we are putting ourselves in a contradiction. God is many means there is no God, because God, by definition, must be one. But we cannot say God is one only, because otherwise we are limiting God. And this is also another contradiction we cannot accept. So what we say is God is one, but he chooses to manifest himself in many forms. And there are many personalities of Godhead, and there is only one supreme personality of Godhead. Means that Krishna takes as manifests himself in many personalities, and they are all personalities of God. But you never hear, you never read Sri Vishnu as a supreme personality of God, unless he refers to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of God, only one. One without a second. But at the same time, he manifests himself, he expands himself in many, many forms, who are personalities of Godhead. So just like the government is one, but he has many offices for business, for the care of the country, so Krishna manifests himself in many gods or demigods. Or demigods, for the business of taking care of this material world. So actually, the demigods, they are not necessarily divine personalities. Some of them are very elevated human beings, and some of them are expansion of various divine expansion, etc., etc. When there is no living entity karmically qualified to take on a post like a Brahma, Shiva, or Indra, Chandra, or we have millions of demigods, then Krishna expands himself. It happens also in various other fields, like the Saptarishi. When there is no one qualified, Krishna manifests himself in some way, at different degrees of divine personality. Just like not all the Vyasa Devas are avatars or divine or coming from Krishna somewhere. Our Krishna Dvapayana Vyasa, in this particular Mahayuga, there is one Vyasa every Mahayuga, and he always comes at the end of Dvapara Yuga, for the benefit of the remaining souls who didn't get liberated in the three previous yugas. Then a Vyasa comes. Normally, a Vyasa is a very, very elevated human being. You know? In our case, our Vyasa, Krishna Dvapayana, he was a Shaktavish avatar. You know? A very empowered soul. Because everything about this Mahayuga is very special. Because Krishna appears, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, etc. So also Vyasa had to be particularly qualified. But our philosophy is that the so-called Hindu religion, which Hindu is not really appropriate, but everyone uses it, so let's use it. The so-called Hindu religion, it promotes the idea of one God, who expands himself in many personalities who take charge of the affairs or things he has to do. But God and demigods are not the same thing. God and and his expansion also are not the same thing. So the idea that we are polytheists, that is not correct. We say there is one God, and he manifests himself differently. This is perfect, because there are no contradictions. Only one God, that's all. So that's why. So how does he create? Who creates? God creates. At the same time, he plays with the gopis. What is this? What has to do creation, the material world, with playing in the Yamuna? What there is no relationship. There is no compatibility between the activities. God is not like this. So because of flavors, that is called rasa, flavors. Because of different flavors, then there are different personalities. So this is complete. This is perfect. We can explain this. It's not very bad. But when people say this, you know, just answer, we are one God. Krishna is a supreme person. That's all, finished. But there are many demigods. There is a function of God. They are not God. Any other question? Okay, I think we can then stop here. And we are just for the sake of next reading, we are at the end of page 407, starting from the last paragraph. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.